What's up, everyone? This is the one and only Nick Andre. And look, if you're a fan of everything that I do, whether it's writing, podcasting, or anything basketball content related, make sure to subscribe to my playback room. I will be live every Friday live streaming an NBA game. So I will be talking everything about the game itself alongside various topics revolving around basketball. So make sure to tune in, man. Make sure to subscribe. I will leave the link in the description. And let's get into the episode. This is another edition of For the Love of the Game, your one and only Nick Andre. I'm glad to have you guys tune in with me. I'm joined with two special guests. I told you guys on the last episode I was going to be joined by a dynamic duo in this podcast game, and they cover just about everything I cover, NBA, college, W, you name it. I got the hoodie and the headband. I got Tariq and I got my guy Bryce. What's going on, y'all, man? Happy to have you on.
What's good, Nick Andre? Thanks for bringing us on your show, man, your new show, For the Love of the Game.
Yes, sir. Not a problem. So let me ask y'all this before we dive into basketball. Where did the name Hoodie and the Headband come from? Because I want to say about a year ago, I listened to one of y'all's pods, and I know y'all had a different name before y'all changed it to that. So tell me the backstory a little bit about how y'all got the name Hoodie and the Headband.
You want to do it?
I'll do it since I came up with it. But so we had our initial podcast, and it was just the Bryce and Tariq WNBA podcast, real baseline, real, I don't know, real Joe Budden-y where it came to podcast name, you know. It was real, I'll name this podcast later type vibe. It was just like, oh, we're just going to name this our WNBA podcast, think of a name later type deal. And so, but then we were like, bro, we want to just talk, we don't want to just talk W, you know. We know so much about the game, like we got a lot of hoops knowledge between the two of us, and we want to talk about college and the NBA as well, because, like, WNBA is only for the summer. And so we're not just going to sit here and sit idle. Like, we got women's college basketball, men's college basketball, NBA that we want to talk about. And so we're trying to figure out how we're going to bridge that gap and put everything all under one roof. And there's one that was chilling, sitting here randomly, right? And I'm always known for wearing a headband and being one to only have the headband on at the park or playing ball or whatever. Like, I always kept the headband on since me and Tariq met freshman year of high school. And I even brought a headband to tryouts. And the star returner was like, no headbands. Like, nah.
No headbands?
Yeah. He told us, he's like, nah, no headbands. Because he was warning me before coach got to me. So I had to put my headband in my pocket. I had a headband. Our school was red. I had a red headband. Fresh red headband.
Oh, he was ready.
I was ready.
He was representing the school.
I was ready. And he was like, bro. I said, dang. All right, cool. Put in my pocket. And then coach was like, yeah, no headbands, no armbands. We all one team. All one uniform, you know. Like we going to be uniform. We going to look the same. We going to order the same shoes. Man, I remember. All right, I didn't mean to go too off course.
That's good. That's good.
He and I did play. We all were these bum ass team Jordans. I'm in the worst shoes ever, man. But we wore them. One man, one team, one town. But I always had been. And then in college, Tariq always rocked the hoodie. Hoodies is always something. He got like 25 hoodies at the crib. And
that sound like me, I ain't gonna lie.
He wear a hoodie year round, he'll tell you. So this is back during, you know, like Hoodie Mellow era. This is our freshman year of college now. Hoodie Mellow era. And I don't know how you get the nickname Q-Tip. He could tell you that story. But somebody started calling him Q-Tip, he ran with it, and I just saw him one day on Twitter, he changed his thing the Hoodie Q-Tip, like his screen name, the Hoodie Q-Tip. And then so I'm like, all right, hey, you hoodie, I would rock the headband, hoodie and headband. And he was like, bro, that's it right there. I was like, yo, I got it. Like, well, you know, you got something, and he was like, oh, that's the one. Ooh.
Honestly, it's like a good combination, I ain't gonna lie.
Yeah. I I was like, I felt like that. I felt like I was at work or just doing something random. And I was like, bro, I got it, bro. He's like, what? I said, the hoodie and the headband. He said, bro, that's perfect. And every time I tell somebody about the podcast, it's like, oh, I love the podcast name. Oh, I love the artwork. Shout out to Margo. It was like, oh, I love the podcast name. Oh, that's cool. That's unique. I think it's long as hell, but I like it. I rocked with it.
I mean, it fits y'all. I mean, it's literally y'all's story. You know, talk about Tariq. He's wearing the hoodies and then you wearing the headband. So, I mean, it fits y'all perfectly. I'm still kind of stuck on the fact that the coach ain't let you wear the headband, though. Like,
come on, man. And then, like, I mean, if you had, you know, the Austin Reeves going on, you had dreads, like, yeah, he lets you, you know, get away with it. Yeah.
The who?
The Justin Bieber.
The Justin what? Bieber?
You said Austin Reeves and then you said dreads. You confused me.
Yeah, I'm saying, because look, the team had the swoops, like Justin Bieber, Austin Reeves type cut, but he had the headband on because his hair is getting long and he knows it's getting zot. And then my boy had dreads and he had his on. And I'm like, that's the only two cases I done seen him allow someone wear headbands. Everybody else had a low phase or the Duke starting five back then. And he was letting us wear headbands, man.
So was he only like that with the headbands? Because I know people, you know, they wear like knee sleeves, like shooting sleeves and all that.
Like, I mean, if like people wore like knee sleeves and stuff because they needed to, like someone had a knee injury or whatever, that's it. Or maybe like wristbands at the most, but not like Allen Iverson shooting sleeve. Nah.
That's
what we need that for.
I mean, it's like I get it, but it's like sometimes people just want to show off, you know what I'm saying? Right. Like, especially if you got something that matches the team colors.
You know, man, what I mean? If you knew my high school, it was none of that going on.
That's crazy.
Shit, what?
That is wild.
It's why Tariq left.
But now, like, how long did y'all have the first name before y'all changed it? Like, how many episodes were y'all in before y'all changed it?
Man, we did a full
W season. And we did at least an episode a week.
We did like about 30, 35.
30.
Close to 30. And now we at what, 120 something?
Something like 125, that. Going on 126.
Oh, that's light work.
Yeah.
Light work.
Yeah, and we're spending 2 years.
Right? I think we restarted.
Yeah, we restarted. Yeah, yeah. Because Hoodie and Headband episode one is.
Oh, we're so. Okay, so y'all basically did y'all remove like all the other episodes and they just start over?
No, they're still up.
Oh, okay,
they're still under.
Last episode is the Sky win the championship.
Okay, so that was 2 years ago. Shout Candace Parker.
Ah!
Shout number 21
episodes. 21 episodes.
That's not bad.
That's not bad at all. Honestly, I'm probably on like 22, 23, something like that. But no, that's definitely what's up. I mean, that's honestly a dope story to hear. How the journey started and everything, you know, to see where y'all at. You know, I mean, I'll be real, I'm a fan of the pod and everything. I listen to it as much as I can. And, you know, y'all definitely got a dope duo, you know, going on for sure. But now let's go ahead and dive into some basketball, man. So let's start with this first topic because it just happened. Caitlin Clark becomes the second fastest player in Division I history to reach 3,000 points for her career. What does that mean to y'all?
Prolific. I mean, it ain't many that's been like her. There hasn't been anyone like her. Like Kelsey Plum, Sabrina Ionescu, like they, you know, in the last 10 or so years, they've transcended the game in their own ways. But none of them have scored the way that she has. And it's been a system of a college team the way she was. Like Kelsey Plum, like she was a system in Washington, but not to the extent that Caitlin has. And then Sabrina, like, she had the ball in her hands a lot, but she also had Sasha Sabla, she also had Ruthie Hebert, Mignon Moore. Like, they had talent around.
They did.
A lot of talent around her. Like, WNB, like, first, like second pick in the draft talent next to her. Caitlin did not have that. And I don't mean no disrespect, but if you watch the game, you can see that she ain't got that. So, the game, like, a win and loss is based off of if she's making shots or not. Because even tonight, like, they had a close one with Iowa State. She scored 18 points in the second half with 3 minutes left, the rest of the team had 2 points in the second half. And then they made a couple layups at the end, but like they were getting good looks. That's the thing. Like Caitlin, and as crazy as it sounds, like she's probably more dangerous when she's getting everybody involved. When she's getting people open looks for threes, when she gets like 10, 12, 13 assists, that's when it's really hard to beat her. Because obviously if she gets 30 to 40, like, yeah, that's tough. And, you know, the shots that she makes can be demoralizing. But if she's making shots and the role players are making threes, that's when it becomes a whole different ballgame. And I think that's what sets her apart from the other players that have been prolific scorers in college basketball over the last 10, 15, 20 years. And she's probably going to end up breaking the record. Probably going to end up passing Kelsey Plum. They said she's on pace to do it by end of February. So she'll do it before we.
I think she'll do it for sure.
Yeah, she'll do it before we even get to the tournament as long as she can get injured. So
I don't think Kelsey really a fan of that. I think she said something. I can't remember exactly what she said, but I don't know if she's really a big fan of it or not. But Bryce, what do you think about Caitlin Clark surpassing 3,000 points?
Caitlin Clark, man, is legendary, man. She's so cemented and stamped her name into the record books forever. I mean, we all knew this moment was coming. I'm not surprised by it, but it's just like, I don't know, you're just glad it happened. You know, like she's been the focal point of that team. She's been the best player of that team since she's gotten there, and she's put that team on her back. And this just proves how, you know, she's putting up 3,000 points in her career, a little less than 4 years total. And she's on pace to break the record. And so, I mean, she just, what she's been able to do for the game these last few years has been phenomenal. The amount of eyes that she's put on the game, the conversation she's just been able to bring about the game, you know, in terms of, oh, should the W consider one and done, or how are these players going, you know, translate to the W? How are they going to impact the game? And she's had a great impact in the game in her play. So she's been one of the – trying to find the word here, I'm sorry. One of the key players in the – I don't want to say the reemergence or the resurgence, I guess. But she's been one of the key players that people have really tuned into to – bring in these kind of numbers that the women's side of the game has been bringing in the last couple of seasons. Like, they're watching these games to watch her, and she's been delivering. I mean, whether that's Final Four games, regular season games, other tournament games, like, whenever she played against Caitlin, what was that, her sophomore season? Or was that her freshman season? When she matched up against Paige.
That was both
of their freshman seasons?
Freshman, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. But still, I mean, I remember that being a big turnout. And I remember, you know, that's back when, oh my goodness, I'm about to tell my age here. That's back when locker room was a thing and we had watch parties discussing it.
Yep.
And, you know, just a big thing.
That was like pandemic time, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was like right after. First season after, actually.
But. Yeah, man. I mean, she's, you know, just been able to transcend the game in a way that not a lot of people have been able to do. And that's why she's Caitlin Clark. Or Caitlin, as you know, she's referred to on first name basis most of the time. So she's one of them ones that has, you know, proved to be that in her collegiate career. And I can't wait to see what she does next.
Caitlin Clark is special. There's no ifs, ands, and buts about it. It's crazy because even this was like maybe some months ago, I had a conversation with a guy because it's like y'all mentioned, you know, Caitlin Clark. I think a lot of people recently just started laying eyes on her and realizing how special she was, but people don't realize she's been doing this since her freshman year. Yeah. And she's only gotten better, you know, from here on out. You know, I think, you know, especially what she did last year in the tournament really cemented herself as one of the best in the country. And then, of course, you know, being able to carry that over into this year, I think is just remarkable. So, you know, for her to have 3,000 points is definitely, you know, not a surprise to many. You know, we see how gifted of a scorer she is. She's a prolific shooter, can shoot from literally anywhere on the court. And on top of that, can attack defenses to find a way to get to the basket. So, you know, she's just a gifted dynamic scorer. And it's part of the reason why she's continued to transcend as one of the best players in the country. But since we're already on this topic, what are y'all's thoughts on Iowa this year, especially coming off of making it to the national title, ended up losing? How do y'all think they've been this year as a whole? Because I know they had a few losses. I know they lost to Kansas State. How do y'all, like, what has been y'all thoughts on this year so far?
For me, it's always going to be about the role players. Obviously, you know, she was able to go on a crazy run in March last year, but the other players still stepped up and made plays. And this year, Kate Martin has made some plays. She's played pretty well this year, but Gabby Marshall still hasn't found her shot yet. They haven't really found like a real answer at the center spot since Zanano went to the W. And, you know, they're just trying to see what young players are going to be ready for the big moments. And some of them have had moments, but they haven't really answered the call when it's been super needed. Tonight they were able to get a couple of transition scores and to get to the free throw line when it was clutch time. But Iowa State was really just their youth showed in the last couple of minutes, so they were able to take advantage of that. But it's always going to come down to the role players, and they don't have to make a lot of shots. They've got to make timely shots, really. And they weren't even really making those tonight. Like, if they hit three or four shots that were wide open, this game isn't even close. It's a 10 to 12, 15 point game, and it's not even like a whole thing at the end of the game. But when they play other teams in the Big Ten that can score, they're gonna have to be able to keep up with that. And it's always gonna come down to they're a team that plays a lot of shooters, but if they're not making shots, then what are they doing out there? So
facts.
What it is. And then they gotta figure out what they're doing with the post players. Like, if Thoki, is it O'Grady? Like, who do they want to, you know, have that real role at the five? Because they've always had one. They had Gustafson before, Zanano. So they've always had a center that they can play through the post when they need to. And Stolke is supposed to be the answer, but, you know, they've kind of switched it up from game to game. So that's kind of just what I've seen, at least.
How about you, Bryce?
Yeah, man. A lot of what Tariq said, I feel as well. Just, you know, just somebody finding our identity and finding how they're going to present themselves as one of the best teams in the nation. If they are one of the best teams in the nation. I mean, I know this team was highly ranked going into the season. I think there was a lot of expectations on them being that they were in the national championship last year. But as you can see, they were trying to find their footing early in the season. You know, came across a couple teams, a couple challenges, but yeah, it starts with everyone around Caitlin, because Caitlin gonna be Caitlin in the day. But it's everyone around Caitlin, it's like, that's gonna have to step up, as Tariq mentioned. Like, people gonna have to hit shots, like, have to rebound, just give them opportunities to win games and be in these games with some of the top teams that are out there in the country now.
So, who do you guys believe is their consistent second option? Because obviously we know Caitlin's going to be Caitlin, but, you know, even as dynamic as Caitlin is, she can only do so much that can carry the team. So who do y'all believe is their consistent second option on this team?
It'd probably have to be Kate Martin, just because of her experience. Mm-hmm. She's made strides over the last couple of years. From going just a spot-up shooter to being able to make some plays off the dribble. And not even just for herself. She's really improved on, you know, like, running plays, and, you know, they've done a lot more this year, running Caitlin off the screens and things like that. So she's not always with the ball in her hands and just running pick and rolls. So Kate Martin is probably the second person, just because they probably trust her the most out of all the other role players because of how long she's been there and what she's, you know, accomplished to this point. After that is really where, because every other team that we talk about or that we're going to talk about has a third, fourth, fifth option. Iowa has to figure out who their third, fourth, fifth option are. So
yeah,
that's really the thing, is all these other teams are really deep. Like, yeah, Caitlin might be better than their best player, but the drop off from 2 to 7 to 8 is huge.
Yeah.
So that's the real thing, and that's why last year I didn't feel like they were gonna make a push. They were able to make a push because she was able to go absolutely bananas and drop like 40 with 10 assists and account for 70, 80 points. So if she's gonna do that again, then sure, she might, you know, they'll make another run. But with the way that the team is constructed right now, I don't really see that happening.
That's honestly a good point, because it just reminded me of the Final Four game when they played South Carolina, and Kalen had like, I think, 41 in that game, but they only scored like 76, 77 points. Yeah. So that's more than half the team's points. And I know she had double digit assists, but right. You know, still just being able to carry the team on their back. And on top of that, South Carolina was still in the game. They only lost by like 4 points. So
right.
You know, obviously things are gonna be different this year. You know, teams are gonna have game plans and create schemes to try to, you know, take the ball out of her hands and everything. So that is going to have to be the job of others to find a way to contribute, whether it's scoring, whether it's playmaking or whatever it is. So, you know, that's honestly going to be a big discussion moving forward, you know, for Iowa, because obviously they have one of the best players in the country, but can they make a run to the national championship again? And that's something that's definitely going to be a question as the season progresses.
It's also been interesting to see, early in the season, well, it's still early in the season, but at the beginning of the season, Caitlin mentioned playing more off ball, because if she's going to the W, then she's not always going to have the ball in her hands.
That's true.
I think that's been interesting to see this year, that she has taken more of an off ball role, at least in the first half of games. And tonight, that's where a couple of her threes came off of, you know, coming off of pin downs, coming off a screen, falling to the left. She likes to go to the left on off the screen, so that has been interesting to see, and interesting to see how often they're able to do that and how long they're able to do that as the season goes on.
You got any final thoughts, Bryce, on Iowa?
I think Tariq did a good job summing it up, man. Yeah, they desperately, I don't say desperately, but they're gonna have to figure it out quick what that third option look like and how they're gonna involve that third option, how they're gonna bring in that third option. Seems like Gabby Marshall still got to find her shot, man. She went 0-5 tonight. Just not the usual output that she would normally put out there. But, yeah, I mean, if they want to be serious in March, be a serious team to go up against in March, I mean, it takes more than just Caitlin to do so. I mean, Caitlin can take you, but so far. Like, once you start getting to, like, Sweet 16, Elite Eight.
It's going to get tough.
That's when your depth really talks. Yeah. That's when your depth really comes to play, man. Like, we've seen it time after time again, just how teams, like, fully constructed teams, like, 1 through 12 have been better than teams, like, a star or two on them, and how they've been able to prevail in those moments in March.
I agree. I definitely agree. We'll have to see how the season progresses for them. And, you know, this is a new year. This isn't going to be like what it is last year. Obviously, it was a great run for them. But like I say, you know, this is going to be a good season, or, you know, a different year from what it was last year. Last week, the ACC-SEC Challenge took place. A lot of high-level basketball. We saw South Carolina in a physical matchup against UNC. Duke had beat Georgia. We saw LSU beat Virginia Tech, which was Angel Reese's first game back. And then Notre Dame had a nice comeback going up against Tennessee. So, what were your thoughts on the ACC-SEC Challenge?
You can go ahead, bro.
North Carolina, the state of North Carolina women's basketball. I apologize. I'm unfamiliar with your game. I apologize. I said on the show last week, South Carolina's gonna have two blowouts with UNC and Duke. We said this on the show last week. I don't know if they heard the show before tip, but like, they came out with a different energy, man. That was the first time North Carolina, South Carolina, anything felt like a rivalry, you know? Like,
there
was like the intensity, playoff intensity, like, it got chippy at some point.
Yeah, Shelby matches.
I loved it, man. I loved it, yo. I loved it, man. And it was the test that South Carolina needed at this point. I mean, South Carolina don't normally have like a weak non-con, you know. They normally play against a couple powerhouses before they get to their conference play, which they're in the SEC, which is arguably the best conference in women's basketball. But They need that. As a number one team in the nation, they need someone that's lower ranked or unranked to come up and be like, yeah, we here too. We might not be as good as y'all, but we can give it to y'all same way these other teams can. We got that look.
Hey, yo. Oh, man. I didn't even catch that at first. I saw Tariq face. I was like, wait.
I said, give it to you. Pause again. We can match that energy that these other teams can give, can match, can give you, can output. So I think South Carolina facing the team, facing those two teams that early on and them having the games they have had against those teams, I don't think South Carolina had a bad game against either team. It's just that North Carolina and
Duke, it was more so like slow starts to me.
Yeah, yeah. Like that North Carolina game was a very slow start for them. Like they started the game off down by a lot. Like they really couldn't get a lot going on. But as the game progressed, so did South Carolina. They started to get things clicking. Like you saw how they were defensively and how their defense created offense for them on many numerous occasions in that game. So I think it just made good basketball overall. The SEC ACC challenge, as well as the Jimmy V Classic, those happening consecutively like that back to back, it just made for great basketball the whole week. It's like feast week leftovers, preview of March. Like thanks. I loved it.
Honestly, that would be dope to see South Carolina, North Carolina match in a tournament. Like that would be absolutely crazy. But you know what's crazy? I watched the whole game yesterday because I didn't get a chance to watch it live this past Thursday. But my analysis was, you know, give credit to North Carolina. You know, they got off to a really good start. But even though they were, because I want to say they were up by double digits at one point in the game, but I still felt like, I don't know, it just still felt like to me they weren't really playing their best basketball. It was just more so of, you know, we're just waiting for South Carolina to just wake up so they can go on a run. And they were able to do that. They closed the first half on a good note. Yep. And then, you know, and then that momentum just really carried over. And then, of course, going to Duke as well, being able to win that one in Duke. That was actually a tough matchup, man. You know, I think people sleep on Duke, man, because I know that they're unranked, but they're a really, really good defensive team. Last year, they were, I want to say, the best defensive team in the ACC. But obviously, you know, they have players like Celeste Taylor and others. But now this is a new team. But you know, they were able to definitely make things competitive with them. Tariq, what were your thoughts on overall ACC SEC challenge?
I thought it was really cool. They ended up splitting. I think it was 10-10 in all the games, which is crazy, honestly. Notre Dame got a really good win over Tennessee. No Sonya, no Olivia Miles. That was a big win for them, especially they came back on the road. And they really, you know, it wasn't like a Hannah Hidalgo game. It was more like a Natalia Marshall, which I know some Notre Dame fans have been really pushing for the last couple of years. You know, she's dealt with some injuries throughout most of her career. She's always had the talent and the potential. It's just the injuries have always been a killer once the season started. And then, like, South Carolina, like you said, like, the South Carolina, both games, you know, they started bad, but South Carolina, you always know, like, if you don't go up, like, 15 to 20, like, they about to make that, they gonna make that a game in like 3 minutes, man. Because they can lock a team down for 7 to 8 minutes straight with no and get they not get a single point. And then you look up and now you down 6. You was just up 10. Mm-hmm. And the only team that's been able to hold them off from doing that was Iowa because of Caitlin Clark.
Yeah.
They were able to get a lead and then every time they would get like within 2, she hit a 3 or she'd get a bucket or somebody else would like make a shot. Everybody else we've seen the last 2 years plus, every time, like when they played Stanford, when they played UConn, like UConn and Stanford both had leads. Stanford walking or South Carolina walking down the third and fourth quarters, ended up winning the game by double digits. Like it's almost like clockwork at this point. Like South Carolina, you might get a lead, but by that, if you don't be on your stuff in the third quarter, and it's a tie game going into the fourth, you might as well chalk it up because that fourth quarter they come out and they lock down everything. Like North Carolina scored 9 points in the fourth quarter. And they scored like six to start the quarter. So they only scored three in the last 9 minutes. Like, like it's crazy how they can just flip a switch so quickly. And it doesn't matter how their offense is. Like, their offense could be struggling, but they're gonna get so many stops that's gonna give them confidence on the offensive end. And they really only gotta make 2, 3, 4 shots. And you're not gonna be able to catch up because you can't even make one. And it's really just crazy, like, and they have so many players that make plays throughout the game. It's like you can't focus on Cardoso, you can't focus on Raven Johnson or Breezy Hall or Chloe Kitts or Tahina or Ashlyn Watkins or Malaysia. Like, that's 7 people I just named. That ain't even naming Tessa Johnson to come off and hit a 3. Like, they got a whole roster that can come out there and give you a bucket, and you like, hey man, what? They ain't supposed to be able to do this. Y'all tell me they couldn't shoot. You know, they try to force it in the post. Like, they have so many ways they can win, and it's just really, really difficult for teams to match up with it. And I'm interested to see how some of these teams this year, like Utah, they play Utah next weekend. I'm
really, that's going to be a good game. Really,
I'm mad Gianna Nikens got hurt, man. She's out for the
season. I know. Damn. Dang.
That is a really big loss.
That's a big loss, yeah.
She out for the season?
Yeah, she
no,
I didn't even know that. It's crazy. I actually went to go watch a Utah game today, and she was hooping there. She must have just got hurt. It's crazy.
I think I saw it yesterday. Today I saw that she was out for the season, a foot injury. I was like, oh, that might be a killer, because she's their go-to on the perimeter. Obviously, you got Peely in the post, and then Jenna Johnson, and Olivia Palmer or. Alyssa Palmer is hurt, right? Or Isabel Palmer, sorry. Isabel Palmer is hurt right
now. Oh, so yeah.
Yeah, I'm tripping. Isabel Palmer is hurt right now, too, at the moment. So hopefully they can get at least Isabel Palmer back for the South Carolina game so we can see that matchup. Because I really want to see Elizabeth. What the heck? I
was Alyssa. About to
say, Isabel. I was about to say, Kitley, I am bugging. Alyssa Peely against Camilla Cardoso. I think that'll be a really
good game. That's going to be a crazy matchup, bro. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness, God.
It's going to be crazy in the post.
That's 2 strong women just going to be like, hey, you going to have to come with whatever you got because
a battle.
You ain't about to get nothing easy in here. And
a straight battle.
Arkansas got a good win over Florida State as well. Talia Scott. She's tough,
man. Special, man.
She is tough. Like, I know we talk about Hannah Hidalgo and Juju and Malaysia, but Talia Scott, she up there when it comes to them freshmen. Like, she one of them ones for real. Like, she got such a poised game. All these freshmen have such a poised game. It's crazy. Like,
it's insane.
They adjusting too well, man.
They play like they juniors and seniors, and I'm like, man.
Right.
Like, when I'm writing articles before the season, I'm like, yeah, you know, we got to see what happens. They come out, they average 25. I'm like, no, we don't got to see what happens because they come out here and they just make it look easy. So then you look at other players and you're like, they make it look this easy. Why you can't go do that? Like, you've been in college for 6 years. You average 7 points. I'm like, you've been in college for 6 years. You average 7 points. Whatever they doing, y'all need to start doing. But I'm really interested to see what Arkansas could do this year. Taylor Poffenberger, she had 23 rebounds in that game.
Hey, she was knocking out threes. That's crazy, too. She took a lot of threes in that game, but
a lot. Made them. And none of them was on the line. She was like 3 feet back. I'm like, you don't want to take a step in? She shot like 13 threes, and all of them was like 23 feet. I'm like, you don't want to take one step in? She was like a 21-footer, just one? She was like, nah. Shooting from out here every time. But she made the ones that mattered. So they got a team that can really score. They got a team that can play some defense as well. So
they got a good squad.
And Florida State, I feel like they'll figure it out. They just
right, they will.
They can just be really inconsistent sometimes. Like, they can be really good and then it just look like real stagnant sometimes. And it's like, oh,
I think what it is like, I feel like a lot of that has to do with coaching style as well. Because I don't know, it's like, you know, like, but like between these three players, Amaria Gordon, Taniya Latson, and Sarah Bajetti, it's like they all have a dynamic of being able to shoot and being able to attack. But I think I see a lot of times, especially when they get down, because I mean, I cover Florida State, I've watched every single game that they played. It seemed like every time they're down or, you know, or another team has momentum, they just want to continue to attack. And then as they continue to attack, they either can close off that lane or when they get to the lane, there's going to be a shot blocker there. So I wish that I could see more of them utilizing their shooting ability and just being able to knock down threes. Because that's really how Arkansas really got out to that big lead, especially right. In that third quarter. They outscored them 24-6, and it was drive and kick, like literally like every time. So that's something that I definitely want to see from Florida State, you know, as the season progresses.
Right.
But now, what was y'all's thoughts real quick on the LSU-Virginia Tech game? Because that was a very highly anticipated game. Obviously, it was Angel Reese's first game back. And then also, obviously, on the other side, you got Georgia Moore. You got Liz Kittley. So how was that battle as well? And also, Nisa Morrow had a dominant matchup or had a dominant performance too.
Yeah. For me, if LSU is going to repeat, it's going to come down to Mikayla Williams and Nisa Morrow. Because we know what Angel Reese is going to bring. Mm-hmm. And Flaw J is going to do Flaw J.
Flaw J been hooping.
Yeah. She, like, you can't look at the box score and be like, oh, yeah, she was hooping tonight. Like, you ain't never really going to see that.
Right.
Like, watching the games, you can see her imprint on every, like, you can see her imprint on offense, setting screens, just movement on offense, on defense, just being everywhere, harassing. Even Haley Van Lith, like, you know, she was getting scored on a little bit by Georgia because Georgia is pretty savvy for her size. Like, she's got a lot of times she's got to make up for her lack of size. So she's got really good footwork once she gets into the paint. And she got Haley Van Lith on a couple of head fakes. But I think Haley did a good job of getting around screens and being active. But man, that third quarter with Mikayla Williams and Lisa Morrow, they just took over and it was like, yeah, it's over. And then, you know, you can see the whole team just really just, you know, coming together and you can see all the emotion of every play. Every time somebody scored, every time somebody hit a three, the whole team was going, you know, Angel Reese's shooting the 3-point guns at everybody going down the court and, you know, Flaw Dish jumping up and down and Nisa Morrow's getting hyped. The bench is throwing, you know, the 3-point guns and everything. And I'm like, all right, so if this is the team that we're going to get all season, this is the team that everybody thought was number one. Because you don't need Angel Reese to be 25-13, 25-12.
Not with this team, nah.
And she really didn't get the 19 until the fourth quarter when the game was already out of hand, if you want to be honest. She was like 2-for-7 from the free throw line and she had 9 points. And then she got like, I think she finished 9-16 from the free throw line. And all those came in the fourth quarter. I'm like, girl, Mikayla and Anissa already put this game away.
Right.
But for Virginia Tech, I think it's very interesting because they have a clear two, like a first and second option. But after that, who are you relying on?
That's Kayla, true, yeah.
Kayla King can shoot it, but if she's not making shots, she's not really doing anything else, respectfully. And last year, you had Taylor Soule, you had Kayana Traylor. You don't really have that this year. Like, Olivia Sumau had some good games coming into this one, and she only played 11 minutes in this one. So, and a lot of the players, especially the post players, got foul trouble, so they couldn't really play to the way they wanted to. But, you know, this I feel like this is a game that Virginia Tech needed for confidence.
Yeah.
To lose it the way they lost it, I feel like that might be, you know, draining.
And that's the thing, too, because, I mean, this was a Final Four rematch, technically, yeah.
And then they also lost to Iowa early in the season. So both of their big games, they really wanted to win, they lost. And it's like these were the measuring sticks. You know, these were the barometers that we're trying to put ourselves on. Like, you know we're going to be good in the ACC. It's the other teams that we need to see that we're going to see once we get to March. If we want to get to a national championship, you know, they said run it back. So if you want to run it back, you got to get over the hump. You got to beat these teams, and they haven't to this point. So hopefully, you know, the conference play gets them, you know, the conference they need to get, and, you know, some of the other players, you know, start to step up. But LSU looked really good, man. I know, you know, there's a lot being said about it as the stuff with Angel Reese is going on, but watching that game, I was like, hey, this ain't the number 7 ranked team in the country. That's for sure.
No, I agree.
They look like with the team that everybody thought they were going to be coming into the season.
I agree. I definitely agree. One thing that I'll say when it comes to Virginia Tech is it seemed like they didn't want no smoke with LSU under the glass. because I was watching Anissa Morrow just get offensive boards like it was nothing. Like, I'm trying to see some physicality, and Anissa Morrow just grabs it, gets a putback second chance point. You know, it was just crazy. But I mean, it was a really good win for LSU, because I saw a lot of, you know, a few haters, you know, on Twitter, X, whatever you want to call it, you know, saying, you know, it's Angel's first game back. She's going to mess up the chemistry and everything. And I was like, all right, cool. We'll just have to see. And I know that you said, you know, a lot of her points came in the fourth quarter, but obviously that didn't take away the play of Anissa Morrow, didn't take away the play of Kayla Williams. So they were still able to click on all cylinders. You know, it was a really, really impressive performance. You got any comments on the game, Bryce?
It's just a good win for, I think going in it, it would have been a good win for either team. You know, for Virginia Tech to win that game, that would have been a big win for them. For LSU to win that game, especially after going through what they went through with the whole, you know, Angel missing four games and all the drama and all, like, the uncertainty surrounding them and everything, that was good that they came together and put together a game like that where a lot of their players, you know, was able to shine. You had one player score 20, two other players score 19. I mean, that's, I guess a team that you've seen in the tournament before, and I guess a team that's going to be, you know, in the tournament again this year, like, that's a good game to win for them, because there's a lot of talk about LSU's non-con schedule and how they don't play nobody, but they play somebody that got, you know, pretty far in the whatchamacallit. They got pretty far in the tournament last year, so yeah. So good win by LSU. Outing by Angel Reese. Regular schedule programming, honestly, yeah. So looking forward to see how they come out in SEC play for Virginia Tech. They do got a couple. I was looking at their schedule as far as ACC play goes. So I mean, they don't play anybody really, as far as their non-con before SEC play starts. I mean, before ACC play starts against Pitt. But they do have a stretch after their Wake Forest game. They go against NC State, Miami, Virginia. Not Virginia. They're against NC State, Miami, Florida State, and Duke, which aren't going to be the easiest of games for them. And that's in a row. So, really just want to see how they respond.
I agree. I definitely agree. What's up, you guys? This is the one and only Nick Andre, and I just want to let you guys know, in case you guys have been living under a rock, I do have a new series that's currently going on right now titled Underrated Duels on my Patreon channel. It's where I dive back into a lot of 1-2 punches and a lot of 1-2 tandems in past NBA history who may have not won a championship, may not get recognized, but did do some damage as a unit. So make sure to check that out. Make sure to subscribe to my Patreon. And without further ado, let's get back into the episode. We mentioned some of the freshmen, you know, about a few minutes ago. Let's go ahead and dive into, you know, this the next topic, which are the freshmen in the country. It's like you said, I mean, they're all poised, you know, they're all playing with so much confidence. And it's crazy to think how well they're playing and to think that they have 3 more years of college basketball and how better they're going to be able to get.
It's crazy.
You know, we're like, blessed from here on out. Exactly.
Crazy.
I mean, you got
the senior year, Juju Watkins is crazy.
Exactly. Now let's go ahead and start with her. Gosh, let's go ahead.
Let's talk about Juju.
Let's talk about Juju, man. Like, because from game one, when they played Ohio State, she showed, like, yeah, this is going to be a great year for her. So, what is y'all's impression been on Juju Watkins in this early season?
Juju's been the one, not the two, even though she wears 1-2. But she. Oh, and she's proven that she's been ready for this moment. You know, I mean, I remember seeing her Sierra Canyon highlights, just seeing her cook up, and it's like, yeah, she's level ahead of these girls she's playing against, man. And then California ain't just no cakewalk of a state to play basketball.
Right? Nah.
California, especially playing in, playing in like the conference, the division she played into. Like, right. No, like Cali got some hoopers, man, and Cali is known for being one of the better basketball states just in general. And Juju has been a hooper since then, putting up crazy points at Sierra Canyon, then breaking Lisa Leslie's scoring record, you know, most games with 30 points as a freshman already.
It's crazy. And we just got to December. It's crazy.
Bro, come on now. Like,
she on 30-point watch.
Yeah, 30 the other night.
She's averaging 27 ball, as a freshman.
That is as a freshman is insane, bro. It's really insane. And yeah, like we mentioned, they play with a certain poise. It's like, I don't know, for her first game, the beam in her first game, I was just really impressed by how she came out and played, being that this is her first time against college-level talent. I mean, of course, she played against, like, college-level talent in high school, you know, with those girls who want to go to D1 and stuff. But, like, playing against college-level talent, like, full college team experience, college rules, college atmosphere, on a world, on a national stage, because the game was televised, TNT, whatever, all eyes is going on her. And she came out and played like the starter she is, man. And she's tough. Tough. Like, she's one of the ones that's going to help transcend this game on the women's side, where we want to see it and where it should be, you know? Like, she's a future star, if not a star already. And listen, man, we could put her in a conversation for national. Yeah, we could put her in a conversation for national player of the year. We can do it. In that conversation, and she could be leading that conversation.
That's it.
Yeah, I think right now it's her, Cameron Brink. You could throw Caitlin in there as well.
Yes.
I don't know if there's any other players, but definitely those three to me.
For sure. For me, one of the main things that I've it's made me happy about seeing all these freshmen, you know, do what they're doing. It's the coaches trusting them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you watch USC, their offense is almost completely ran through Juju. And it's like a perfect – it's a perfect match, because last year they had a lot of defense and not enough offense. This year they can have that defense and then throw in one of the best offensive players in the country, and it just – fits perfectly together. All those players that were there last year, they have lesser roles, so they don't have to have as much pressure on them.
Right.
And it's not just Juju has the ball at the top of the key and she's making a play. Like, they're getting the ball in the post, they're getting the ball in the mid post, she's coming off screen, she's coming off pin downs, she's, you know, in a pick and roll, she's getting it in transition. Like, she's getting buckets in so many different ways. Like, if you could do like a breakdown of it, she'd get like three isolation, three pick and roll, three in transition. Like, it's, and then, you know, she's still shooting the ball well. Like, it's just so many ways that she's affecting the game on the offensive end. And eventually the defensive part is going to come. Like, at this point, she doesn't really need to. But if you, like, she's no slouch on the defensive end. Like, she's got good, good instinct. She's got good size, good athleticism. Like, she's got every tool that you need on both sides of the basketball. And if you're, like, your typical basketball player that you would want it to look like Juju Watkins, have that kind of size, that kind of skill, that kind of finesse, that kind of patience and poise and footwork and everything that she brings to the game. That's what you would want in your best player. And I think her taking on the challenge and the team trusting her to be that go-to player on the offensive end has been really fun to watch, just because, you know, a lot of freshmen come in and the coaches don't want to, you know, fully give them the reins, or some of the players that have already been there, you know, feel a certain way. And they're like, hey, this ain't just her team. Like, this ain't all about her. Like, her teammates like, hey, we know how good she is. We ain't worried about what, you know, we don't got no egos. We're not going to be selfish. Like, you know, she's going to make plays, and we're going to make plays based off of her gravity and being on the court. Because it's like, when Pac-12 play starts, all these different, like, Stanford's and UCLA's and Colorado's and Washington State's and Washington, they're going to try to play her so many different ways.
Oh, Lordy.
And that's going to open up for
others, yeah.
So, and I'm very interested to see how she's going to respond to all the different types of defenses that she's going to see, because, like, Ohio State threw one at her. Who else? They played another team that has good defense. I can't think of off the top of my head.
I'm trying to think, yeah.
I can't think of off the top of my head. They played him in the one of those tournaments over Thanksgiving, but I can't remember who it was now.
It wasn't Princeton, was it?
Nah, it was it was a defensive team too. Let me see if I can find it really
fast. I'm about to look at their schedule right now.
Looking right now.
Seton Hall, maybe?
Yeah, Seton Hall, or they played Penn State. They only won by a point there.
It was the Penn State game. Yeah, Penn State.
Okay.
Because Penn State played, they threw a lot of different defenses at her. They trapped her a little bit. They doubled her. They tried to throw a bunch of different things, and early in the game, she kind of struggled, but she was able to make plays as the game went on, and she still ended up hitting a game winner for the last 7 points. Like, you're like, all right, well, we had her, we thought we had her, you know, reined in, and then fourth quarter, she scored the last 7 points, and they win the game because she hit a game winner. So I'm really interested to see how Pac-12 play is going to go, because it's a lot of powerhouses out there right now, and you know, it's a lot of great coaches out there. You know, Corey Close and Tar Vanderveer, they're not just going to let her just, you know, run free. But I don't think it's a lot of players out there that can lock her up. Like, I don't think it's a lot of players. I don't think there's a player on UCLA that is matching up with her one-on-one and just going to give her, like, real problems.
I say, how's that match going to be with her and Kiki Rice?
Like, I can't wait.
Yeah.
I can't wait.
Nice.
They look so similar. Like, if you watch their
game. Man, the amount of buckets is about to be dropped, boy.
It's crazy. Like, Stanford, I don't think they got an answer either.
Nah.
Colorado might, just because of how, you know, how feisty they play. But I think it's going to be more so like coaching, and they're going to try to find a way to get the ball out of her hand. And that's when it's going to come down to Lindsey Gottlieb and how is she going to find ways to get Juju shots without her having to have the ball in hand enough for teams to be able to trap and send double teams and things like that. So it's going to be a really fun element to watch.
I'll say this, man. I think the best freshman defender so far, I think it's got to be Hannah Hidalgo. At least perimeter. Woo! At least perimeter.
Oh, defense. Yeah.
Easy.
Oh, yeah.
Bro, I was looking at her stats earlier today. I didn't even know she had 12 steals in the game. Like, I was like, wait a minute, what?
Yeah.
I didn't even know that. Man, like, that's crazy.
Six, like last week, she was averaging 6 steals a game last week. I don't know how many she had tonight.
She's still averaging 6 steals. Crazy. That was the second game of the year too, which is crazy.
Because I was watching the game tonight, and I swear I was watching for like 3 minutes, and I heard her get at least 2 steals. I was like, bro, that's crazy. Like, I've only been tapped in for 4 minutes, and I've heard.
Insane, bro.
Hands in the cookie jar.
Like, and on top of that, like, one thing that stands out to me is, like, you know, especially on offense, like, she loves to attack, especially being at her size. Like, she loves to find openings, love to find driving lanes. I'll be real, man. I need Olivia Miles to come back soon.
Come on, man.
I need Olivia Miles to come back soon, dog. Oh, my God. I'm waiting.
That's on my Christmas list, dog. Like, I need it. I need it. We need it. Streets need it. We need to see the two together, man. Like, come on, bro. I've been waiting for Olivia to come back for some time now. That's probably my favorite player in women's college basketball. But
she's definitely up there as one of my
favorites. Her and one of my new favorites together.
She's averaging 23, 5, 5, and 6.
You hear that?
Hey, that backcourt would take over the ACC without question.
Without question.
If they can get Olivia back healthy, Sonya healthy, with the way Maddie has played this year, really the way she's played this year, she's played a lot more aggressive, a lot more confident. Natalia Marshall has stepped up with Lauren Ebo, you know, departing to due to graduating and things like that. KK Bransford has played well. Anna DeWolf played well, so they got a squad out there. Like, Kylie Watson is making plays when need be. She had 14 points tonight. So they got a lot of talent out there, and when they're healthy, they'll have depth. I'm really interested to see how far they can go when it gets to tournament time. Because if they can get Olivia back, this team gets way more dangerous.
Right. So, where do you guys see this team going as far as this team currently constructed? Like, how far do you think that they can go? Like, Sweet 16 maybe, or maybe a little bit further?
I think healthy squad, they can, you know, get to where they get. They got to the Elite Eight last year, right?
Sweet 16.
Yeah, Sweet 16, yeah.
Remember, they we bought, was there.
Yeah, I remember. I had my green on. Cause I thought they was gonna win, but which one call it? I think they could get past. Which one call? I think they can pass Sweet 16 this year. I'll say Elite Eight for sure.
I think the thing they were missing last year when Olivia went down was somebody with the confidence to have the ball in their hands. Sonya had the ball in her hands, but she wasn't really confident. And you could tell because when this season started, she said she was glad she didn't have to have the ball in her hands as a point guard anymore. That's something you really don't want to hear. But like, it makes sense because, you know, she didn't grow up playing point guard. She grew up, I mean, she's a taller guard. So she grew up playing the two and the three. So it makes sense. But they have Hannah now, at least, even if Olivia doesn't come back. If they can get Sonya back, like, this team could definitely, at the very least, get to an Elite Eight, if not a Final Four, in my opinion.
Yeah, they definitely were missing someone that can just, like, control just the pace of the game and just control.
I can kind of understand it, too, though. Like, not – what's that?
They was missing somebody that didn't care about what the score was, that was going to keep fighting. And I'm not saying that Notre Dame didn't have that last year, that they weren't fighting to win. But I feel like once it got to a certain point, their confidence was just gone, and they didn't think they could come back. If Hannah Hidalgo is on the court, she's not thinking like that at all. She's going to be 100% full go all the time. And I think that's something that is going to be huge for them as the season goes on.
Right. And I think it was also a situation, too, because Olivia got hurt, like, towards the end of the year.
Right.
I was actually watching a game against Louisville.
Yeah.
Boy, so it was like right there. It was like right there, like towards the tournament. So now it's like everybody has to adjust.
Two games before?
I think so. Yeah, something like that. And didn't
they were still waiting it out? They were like, remember Selection Sunday? There was like, oh, they hotted her leg. Yeah, she had a rule. It was like they hotted her leg because they didn't really say that she was. They didn't want to say what her injury was or disclosing it yet. Because of that, how that probably would have affected their seeding.
Yeah.
I'll say, didn't Dara Mabry get hurt too?
Yep.
I think, yeah.
Yeah.
Got hurt like 2 weeks before that, maybe 3 weeks. Yep. She tore her ACL like 2 or 3 weeks before that. And then Olivia Miles got hurt against Louisville. I think they end up losing that game. And then they played Louisville in the tournament. And I think. Either they lost that game when Olivia got hurt, or they won that game when Olivia got hurt, and then they lost the following game in the tournament, in the ACC tournament.
I was say, so they were missing two key pieces into the tournament.
I mean, both their guards, really.
Mm-hmm.
Because Sonya was playing the three, Maddie was playing the four, and then Eva was playing the five. So really, that's why Sonya was like, I hadn't played the one all year. Like, if Dara was in the game, then she was playing the one. If Olivia was playing is in the game, she's playing the one. If they both in the game, I really ain't got to worry about it because they both out there. So once they both got hurt, it's like, who else the ball going to go to? Like, KK isn't really a point guard. She's a two guard, three guard. So really, it was just like, you ain't had no choice. Like, you got to play the point. And she made it work. She made some plays. She had some really good moments in the tournament, especially. But it'll definitely be different this year with Hannah out there, at least.
I definitely agree. Before we leave this topic, it's only right we talk about this player, and that's my legend, Phil Wiley, who has been incredible, especially off the bench for South Carolina. So one of y'all can go. Y'all just talk about her impact and how she's been for South Carolina.
Man, she's provided a spark for South Carolina that they really need off the bench. That they really need in times. Like, I remember that Notre Dame game, she came in not scared. She came in with that attitude. Like, she came in like, yeah, we here, I'm here, whatever. Like, come on, let's do this. Like, real hot spark off the bench that South Carolina needs in moments. That they're going to use that to their advantage a lot this season. I mean, I don't know. I could see her maybe eventually starting, but then again, they would need that second guard off the bench really to lead that second unit. I think that's her. And as of now. But her game is electric, man. Like, she's showtime. She's must watch. Like, she's continuing to play her brand of basketball, which I'm glad that, you know, some players, they get to the college level and aren't able to do because of whatever system they're in. Right. But you see that Dawn Staley's embraced the type of player that she is and has used that to both their advantage, both South Carolina's advantage and Malaysia's advantage. And, yeah, man, I remember seeing that first game. Crafty, my goodness. She's one of the better offensive players in the nation, in my opinion, in terms of, like, what she can do on a skill set.
I agree. I mean, one thing I'll say, man, Don, I keep telling people, man, Don is a genius. Don knows how to recruit, man. That's why it was funny, because even last year when they lost Aaliyah Boss, Zaiah Cook, Bree Bill, and so many others, you know, everybody was like, oh, man, this is going to be a rebuild year for South Carolina. And then when I was looking at the roster and I kind of got a chance to understand who everyone was, I was like, oh, yeah, this team's going to be good. Now, did I expect them to be number one right now? That's a different story, but I knew that this team was definitely going to be good. But, you know, it's like I said, I mean, Don knows how to recruit. Don knows how to utilize her players to their maximum potential, and I think we're seeing that. What was that?
He knows how to motivate, too.
Yeah, that's true.
He knows. You don't think she was telling them in the summer? Like, hey, they think we rebuilding. They think we not one of the best teams in the country. You don't think they felt that? You don't think they heard everything that people were saying?
She did that with Aaliyah after ESPN was
showing. Come on, nah, they got Twitter too.
Yeah,
They got Instagram, they got TikTok, just like we do.
Aaliyah came back way different that year too. Like, she was really good her sophomore year, but she came back
junior
that
year. Yeah,
oh my God, that junior year something special.
What? Nothing you could do.
Nothing.
She was killing.
They threw everything. They threw the whole kitchen sink out of her. Still nothing.
Yeah, there wasn't nothing you could do. She was killing it.
Yeah,
for Wiley, she's the definition of a spark plug. Like, you put spark plug in the dictionary, she'd be right under it, because she comes off the bench and she plays like she's been in the whole time. Like, you know, most in the game and they got, you know, let me get warmed up, you know, I don't want to. She come in the game, she get a rebound, she's pushing, she running full speed trying to get a layup or trying to get somebody a shot. She's not wasting that a lick of time. She's like, hey, I might only play 5 minutes this game. I'm going to make this 5 minutes the most exciting thing you've seen all game. And Dawn sat her in the North Carolina game. She played three. And everybody was like, hey, man, why Malaysia not playing? Like, hopefully, you know, something ain't wrong. And Dawn said after the game, she wasn't playing defense. So I had to sit her. Said I had a conversation with her, let her know why she sat. She understood. She come back in the Duke game, and she made big plays. Ooh. It was a big contributor to them winning that game. And I'm like, that's the difference between a Dawn and a Gino. Because Gino would be like, oh, yeah, you know, they played terrible. We don't got Paige, so we don't got a chance, blah, blah, blah. No. If he sits somebody, he's not reassuring them that, hey, this is just a lesson I'm trying to teach you. He like, you might not even play the next 2-3 type stuff. She like, no, like, this is a one game thing. You come back in the next game, you figure out, like, you watch and see what you weren't doing, and that's when you can come back in the next game and change that. And I think that's huge. I think that's why, like, we talked about it a couple, I don't know if it was last pod or 2 weeks ago, but how important coaching is in today's game of basketball
at
college level is these coaches believing and ensuring confidence in these players and not just trying to squeeze what they can get out of them and then pushing them to the side. Like, Dawn cares about her players. Every single player that's on her roster, she cares about. And there's not a lot of coaches like that, but you can tell with the coaches like that, they are going to play hard for their, like, Coach Yo, Neil Ivey, like, you could tell when players like really rock with their coach and everything just, you know, makes sense and everybody has one common goal. But then you could tell when these other coaches, like, this is who I am, and you either gonna do it my way, or you either gonna sit on the bench, or you're gonna end up transferring. And then you end up with Geno, and you like, oh man, we missing a little bit of talent. We probably should have this player, this player. We had Sailor Poffenberger. We could have used 23 rebounds against Texas. We could have used 23 rebounds against UCLA. Yeah. But they was like, nah, send her on the bench, bro. She's the backup point guard. She ain't no point guard. See how big she is? I like, man, dude, this is why certain coaches be so stuck in their old ways. They like, nah, this is what I see them as, and that's the only thing they can play at. I'm like, Dawn is going to put you out there, and if you're doing what she asks of you, she don't care what way you do it, if that makes sense. Like, a lot of people are like, oh, Fuwale's not going to be able to play the way she played in high school. Why not? As long as she played defense, Dawn going to let them do their thing on offense. Obviously, she wanted them to do it, you know, disciplined, and she wanted them to do it with, do it smartly, but she's not going to be like, hey, you can't be doing none of that flashy stuff you was doing in high school. Like, that's not Dawn Staley. Like, Dawn Staley is never going to be somebody that tells you to tone it down. Ever. Ever.
That's a fact.
So, like, even, like, Tahina Popeye, like, she came in and she was like, yeah, like, Dawn told me, like, she knew what I could bring to the table. The only thing she really wanted me to focus on was the defense. If the defense is there, there ain't nothing else that she got to worry about, because she know I'm going to make threes. She know I'm going to make plays for everybody else and things like that, and bring leadership and all that. Like, if you play for Dawn, as long as you play defense, you going to get your time.
You're going to get your PT.
You're going to get your chance to shine. So that's the thing. Play defense. You're going to get your Sports Center highlight. So as long as she keep doing, you know, keep doing what she's supposed to do, she's going to be able to make plays all year. And then as the years go on, she's going to be one of the key, you know, focal points of the offense and of the team for the next couple of years.
Speaking of Geno, this is a good transition. We might as well just dive into UConn, because it hasn't been the start that they expected or fans have expected. They're 4-3 right now. They lost some tough games. First game to NC State.
We did win
UCLA.
We are 5-3 now.
Oh, 5-3. Okay, I take that back. 5-3 now. But they lost to NC State.
I don't know.
NC State.
I mean, it was like a big game. We were supposed to win that.
No, they lost to NC State. They lost to UCLA. And they lost to Texas. But by the way, Roy Harmon hooped the other day.
What
has been your thoughts about UConn? Because they have dealt with a lot. You know, losing AZ Foot is a big loss, especially after only playing two games. So what has y'all's thoughts been on UConn this year?
Losing AZ was very unfortunate. I know I said in previous episodes, that maybe it's just that other teams caught up to UConn. You know, UConn used to be the powerhouse for a while, and there were the years where they had the top player in the nation, top team in the nation, 100-game win streak twice. Like, that time is over, man. I'm sorry. I'm sorry to say it. As someone that supported UConn during that time.
Brianna Stewart ain't coming through that door.
Maya Moore ain't either. I'm sorry. Respectfully, yeah. I love Paige. Paige is tough. I hate that AZ's down. Aaliyah Edwards is the truth. Like, they got a good squad, but it's just a matter of health is a big thing for them. And at the same time, it's just a matter of being, like, connected, like, being there, like, having the chemistry and stuff as well. Like, I think – I don't want to say they don't have the greatest chemistry, but, I mean, it could use some work. I mean, just like anything else, though. But I don't want to count them out, you know? They have these rough patches and stuff, and then next thing you know, they find a way to get to the Final Four. Like, you can't count them out. Like, Geno is still a solid coach. Maybe not the coach he once was, but he's still – I don't want to count out a team coached by Geno Auriemma as long as he's at UConn.
That's a fact.
Now, I'm going to let Tariq go, because I know Tariq got way more to talk about than I do. Like, he probably got 10 minutes on this.
Go ahead, man. We're going to step back.
Man.
That's sorry. You know what? Let me go ahead and.
It's just like, I don't know if Geno knows what he wants to do with the team. And I know it's difficult because Izzy got hurt, but you're Geno Auriemma. Like, you got to know, you got to be prepared for these situations.
been coaching for too long.
Exactly, especially with the way the last 3 years have gone. Like, the last 3 years, you've gotten injuries to almost every player that stepped on the floor for us. So it's not like, oh, this is the first year we ever had injuries. Caroline's been hurt multiple times. AZ's been hurt multiple times. Paige. Aaliyah's been hurt multiple times. Dorka had been hurt multiple times. Like, the only player that didn't get hurt last year was Luke. So, like, everybody else went through some kind of injury. Nika missed a game. Aubrey Edwards has missed time. Or not. Yeah. Or she's missing time. So, it's like, they're not. Or Aubrey Griffin. What am I doing? Aubrey Griffin.
So you said Aubrey Edwards.
Yeah. Almost every player has missed time. So you would think at some point, like, he would, you know, find ways to combat it. And I know it's difficult. It's definitely not easy. But I think part of the problem this year has been they don't know what direction they really want to go in, because a lot of the players that are playing this year, or I guess half of the players that are playing this year, played without Paige last year, and then the rest are freshmen. So they're all trying to figure out what works and what doesn't on the offensive end. Like, when all the freshmen are in, we play really well. Like, Ashley Shea, Kaden Samuels,
Ice Brady, a little bit more.
Like, once they're all in the game, things look really good. Like, the reason we came back against Texas at the end of the game is because the freshman was in the game. So, you got to find a way for those players to get minutes and capitalize on the other talents that you had. Like, you can't just have Aubrey Griffin and Aaliyah Edwards out there just running through the motions. And I saw an article earlier saying that Paige may have to play more like Caitlin Clark.
I saw that. That was crazy.
I saw that too. And I saw the breakdown of that article.
I didn't even read it. That's how ridiculous it was.
Let me pull up.
It was insane. It was insane.
Yeah, like,
You could have said that if I was saying that.
Right. I can see what they mean. Like, she needs the ball in her hands more. But I feel like that's also, I feel like it's a pro and a con. Like, it'll be good for the offense to an extent, but it won't be good for the offense in the long run.
No. Like,
what really needs to happen is for every other player to really get confident and get in a rhythm, because it's the offense that's struggling. The defense has been there, but the offense has looked so lackluster. They turned the ball over a ton. And their best shooting game was against Texas. And they still lost because they had 20 turnovers. They had 24 less shots than Texas had taken. So, like, I mean, you do the math on that. You take 24 less shots than another team, you're not going to win. But then they only end up losing by, like, 7 or 8. So it's like, if you would have got up 5 or 6, maybe 7 more shots, it's a different ball game. So it really just – they got to figure out – lineup rotations, because we've had a different starting lineup almost every game. Like, he don't know who he wants to be in the starting lineup, who he don't want. He's running 4 guards and 1 big, and then he's running Ice Brady with Aaliyah Edwards. Like, people calling for Nicky Mule to go to the bench. I really don't have a preference. Like, as long as the offense is running smoothly,
right?
Like, the defense is going to be there, because Geno's not going to allow players to be on the court and not play defense. So it's not like the defense is a huge drop-off depending on who's on the court, because they all going to play with effort. But it's the offense that really needs to come along, and it's very un-UConn-like. UConn has always been a dominant offense, and that has been their calling card. Like, obviously, the defense has always been there, but the calling card has always been a high-powered offense. They've always had multiple shooters, a dominant player, whether it be Keenan Charles, Maya Moore, Brianna Stewart, the piece of Collier. Like, they always had a dominant player surrounded by players that knew what their roles were. Gabby Williams was a great roller, could shoot the ball. Kia Nurse was a great shooter. Katie Lou was a great shooter. Mm-hmm. Point guards that could always push the tempo. Crystal Dangerfield, Mariah Jefferson, like, all these players. Like, we have those same type of players. It just seems like he doesn't have the confidence in them to let them play the same way. He's looking at him like, that's not Mariah Jefferson. That's not Crystal Dangerfield. That's not Nafisa Collier. It's not. But they weren't Diana Taurasi, they weren't Sue Bird, but you still let them figure it out and run through their mistakes and get back to where they needed to be. It seems like once some of them make a mistake or two, he's like, all right, come out. And you got to let them make mistakes. They're freshmen. They're young. You got to let them.
Exactly.
You got to let them miss shots, because once they make a shot or two, that's when the confidence moves up. Because in terms of off-court chemistry, they got great chemistry. They all love each other. They're always around each other. You can see it on social media all the time. It's the on-court where, like, they got to mesh because they haven't all played together. None of them have played together for a long period of time. Paige didn't play until, like, the end of the summer. She didn't get cleared until a couple months before the season.
Right. And
they're playing a certain way, and then AZ gets hurt, and Caroline is hurt. So now you're playing with two starters out of the lineup. You're throwing two more players into the lineup, and you're just trying to shuffle all this while you're still playing really more than competent teams, like teams that you could see in March, in November. So I feel like, to a certain extent, we got to, like, pull back a little bit and see what it looks like in January, February. But also, it's like they play in the Big East. Like, besides Villanova, who's really giving them a problem? And that's the only thing, is like, they're not playing in a conference that's really going to give them competition. And that's what kind of, like, may hurt them when it comes to March, is they played
the they will be battle tested or whatever.
Yeah, they played the bigger games so early. So by the time they get a rhythm and they get a confidence, they won't be able to test themselves until March. So it's really, but they also have, they'll have a barometer to go off of regardless, because they did play these games. The North Carolina game is going to be very interesting, though. If they lose that game,
I'm
hitting the panic button. Not like we lose to North Carolina, I'm hitting the panic button.
That's what I was going to ask, too. Like, that's what I was going to ask, too, because it is still early, and obviously there's a lot more basketball to be played, but where do you see, like, the state of this team? Like, do you see them still being able to compete with the likes of South Carolina, UCLA, or any of, like, the top 10, 15 teams in the country?
I don't know about this team is very talented.
Right.
It's just I can't put my full faith in that they will figure it out. I think they will, but I can't say for sure that they will. Like, a lot of teams, you can say, oh, they're going to figure it out, it's going to be all right. This team, I'm not so sure. Like, this is a young team. This is a team that has a lot of questions and a lot of variables that need to be figured out. Like, Paige is still coming back off a major injury. Aaliyah Edwards, you know, her confidence is up and down at times. Like,
it is.
That you could tell.
I don't get it either.
Like, I don't either, because she could dominate so many games, and she's like, she gets tentative. And I'm like, no, go to the basket. She gets to the basket. She throws something up. I'm like, what is that? You didn't do none of that last year. Why are you doing that now? Like, it's like her freshman year, really good. Sophomore year, junior year, really good. And now this year, it's like up and down. And it's like, they have been projected as a top five pick in the draft this year. And there's been games where we're like, yeah, that's top five pick in the draft. And then there's been games where I'm like, top 10, maybe. Like, it's so up and down. And I just, if they can bring it together, they can for sure play with the SCs and the UCLAs, because they weren't that far off from beating UCLA just a couple of weeks ago. Right. The offense struggled bad. But if they can figure that out, then yes, they can definitely play with those teams, but we haven't seen it yet. So I can't say for sure that they can play with those teams. Because UCLA, they know what they want to do every night. South Carolina knows what they want to do every night. LSU knows what they want to do every night. Like, these other teams, they know what their identity is. They know what they're looking for. They know what they want to do on offense. They know what they want to do on defense. UConn doesn't know what they want to do on offense. And it's December. So you ain't got that much time. Like, you got some time, but you ain't got a ton of time to figure it out. So
point at the watch.
Time is ticking.
December 6th. December 7th, you listen to this.
This ain't Seton Hall. This is UConn. Fans is breathing down your neck every loss. We got three losses before December. people was going crazy. Like, they, man, Gino don't know what he's doing. Gino this and Gino that. Hey, all right, you know, I know we got three losses, but let's relax now. Let's not act like Gino, you know, let's not act like Gino not one of the greatest of all time, if not the greatest. Like,
Hall of Fame coach, come on now.
Exactly.
It's just the rest of college basketball is catching up. Like, before, like, even when they didn't have super talented teams or, you know, they had struggling games, like, they were able to make up for it because other teams didn't have as much talent as they did. Other teams got more talent or as much talent as them now. And it's good for college basketball, not good for UConn. Like, it's just a fact. Like, 10 years ago, Juju Watkins plays for UConn.
Yeah.
Wally plays for UConn. 10 years ago.
Shit. Maybe even Adrian Wilson played for UConn.
Like, Cam Brink plays for UConn.
I don't know about that one.
But, yeah, I mean, you see all these players, and obviously we got Paige and AZ, but after that, like, what big-name recruit have we gotten besides them two? Like,
all the big-name
recruits are gone. Honestly, yeah.
I was say, yeah. Like, I can't think of anybody coming in either.
There's no disrespect to the players like Ashlyn Shade and KK Arnold and Kaden Samuels. Like, they're all really good players, but they're not
Juju Watkins.
They're not the players that we were just talking about.
Yeah.
They're not the players that we were just talking about.
They're not Adrian.
This would be a different conversation right now.
They're not Ryan.
You said they're not Ryan?
Yeah.
Ryan Howard, yeah.
Yeah. I'll just name it like college standouts in the past couple of years or whatever. It's past, said, like Ricky D years or whatever.
And that haunts us.
But nah. I mean, there's still a little bit of time for UConn, man, to possibly get this thing figured out, man. And, you know, I still have faith in them. I still think that when they're properly used, you know, I think that they can be one of the top teams in the country. But we'll definitely have to see, you know, how things can change as the season progresses. But one of the last topics before we get out of here, man, the upcoming WNBA draft lottery is coming up. Who do y'all think is the first pick? Because right now the odds are Indy, Los Angeles, Phoenix, and Seattle.
I ain't gonna lie. They showed the graphic for the draft lottery, and I saw that LA was the first lottery ball there. I don't know. They tried to tell us something. They gonna put the big name. They know how big the draft is. I mean, this is my conspiracy. This is my conspiracy brain talk coming to play. You know, I ain't got a tinfoil hat. But I got a silver hat on. But this is that come to play. They gonna put a big name in a big market. That way, people going tune into them. You know, like they go put Paige, Caitlin, Cam in a big market. This is Patrick Ewing all over again.
Patrick Ewing all over again.
But
I might have been stressed there.
But in the W, is Los Angeles considered a big market though? Especially like given like the fact that Candace Parker said she ain't never had a locker room until she got to Las Vegas.
That's crazy.
I'm talking about LA itself. I'm not thinking about
the city. Yeah,
LA itself and the amount of attention LA can bring in, and the amount of people that go to Sparks games, but just like the potential of people that go to Sparks games, like they play in the crypto. So,
but I feel like Seattle and Phoenix are very much more W cities.
Oh, yeah, that's W royalty right there. Yeah, without a doubt. That's W royalty.
You put Caitlin Clark and Diana Taurasi out there, they're showing up. You put Paige Beckers out there with Jewel Lloyd, they showing up. Indiana already got some fans popping out more and more. Throw them back. See if they don't pop out. Throw them Cam Brink, see if they'll pop out.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing about W fans. W fans know the game better, in my opinion, and they tune into the players itself.
That's
and,
true.
Like,
yeah.
They follow. They are and like you could tell like people don't. There's far less casuals in the W than there is in like anything else. You know, like people tune in. They watch. They know their players. They're fans of the game. They're fans of the players. And, you know, they've been following these players since high school, not high school, since college. Now they were on a favorite college team. Now that's how they ended up being fans of their favorite WNBA team. And, like, they know their stuff. They are going to tune in, regardless if they're playing in Indiana, New York, Atlanta, Vegas, Seattle, wherever.
I think Phoenix gets the number one pick since they just put a bunch of money into the Mercury. I think
Phoenix
and Seattle go 1 and 2. Indiana goes 3.
Phoenix need to go in a new direction anyways.
So, I saw they hired Chrissy Tolliver as assistant coach.
That was big.
They should have hired.
That's a big move. Honestly,
should have been the head coach.
Hello, coach, man.
Paid the dude that he ain't even know who was on his team besides Diane Taurasi. He said, "Wait,
that's Hooper sad."
No way.
I don't know if he said that for sure, but
you just saying,
the press conference. He's like, "Yeah, you know, I need." I'm definitely going to need to, you know, show me around and, you know, show me the ropes. I'm like, what? Show me the ropes? What do you mean?
Hey.
You know, I guess because they got a new facility, maybe. I think that's what
you're saying. No, it's because he ain't know nobody on the team.
Not even studying his team.
I tried to shoot him barely. He was not buying that.
After that, who's Sophie Cunningham? Who that? What she do? Oh, she one of them. Oh, okay. We'll keep her on the team then.
That sounds like that's called, already destined for
disaster. He probably called Michaela, Michael, or something.
Probably know who Suge Sutton is. Nothing.
He definitely don't know who that is, respectfully. He's
crazy.
Not kind of party. He'd be like, Scottie Diggins still here?
He probably didn't even know. That's crazy.
He's like, hey, Scottie, she's with Notre Dame. She's still on our team, right? And they're like, nah, we're going to let her go.
Don't say that name here.
Diana,
Free Scholar, man.
Free Scholar!
For sure. She need to go to Indiana.
I was just about to say that. I think Scholar in Indiana would be nice.
She could throw a post-entry pass.
Listen, man. I don't know. I had a dream. She was a Los Angeles Spark.
Yeah, I feel like the Sparks gonna get the fourth pick. And it's not a bad pick. I just think
it's not a bad pick in this draft and not a bad pick here.
It's really not.
Yeah.
I mean, when you think about it.
Really got like 4 or 5 number one picks, honestly. Crazy.
That's like, how stacked this class is, man.
We don't know which one's staying or which one's going, so.
Right. I mean, we know Caitlin going. She's like, I'm out of here.
She didn't say that. She said, I'm
true. No, she definitely didn't say that.
She said,
she's treating it like
it's her senior year, but she didn't say that she was going for sure.
I was saying, like, isn't Angel Reese trying to stay another year too?
Angel Reese.
Angel Reese has talked about staying another year. Yes.
Because she knows she's gonna be like fourth, fifth. Like, she's not getting picked before. She probably wouldn't even get picked before Rakia, to be honest.
To be honest, your scouts, yeah.
So like.
We didn't even talk about Rakia. Man.
Rakia is so nice, man. She needed to come back because I looked at the score tonight. They was losing to, like, Middle Tennessee State.
They've been in a slump, man.
They was losing to Middle Tennessee State, bro. I need Rakia back, bro. This is ridiculous. This is ridiculous. And she was hooping, too. Like,
she was. Yeah, so she went down, man.
She was hooping. Like, she was looking National Player of the Year. Like, so hopefully she can get back because – we need it, man. Streets need
Rakia, man.
Who was it? Who did they play today?
Well, I say, because I know they lost to Ohio State the other night. So yeah,
they got cooked low key.
And then we all know what happened against Notre Dame.
They played. I swear I just saw their name too. No, I can't find it. That's great. Hold on. Go to SEC instead of Division One.
But yeah.
Middle Tennessee State. They lost by 11.
They have fallen in Middle Tennessee
four
State.
They are 4-5.
That's crazy. I have them being one of the best teams in the SEC. That's
I did too.
Yeah.
Carolina Stripper had 29. Nobody else had more than 9, though. That is Ooh, that's bad. They shot 40%, 15. Ooh. And they was getting cooked. Yeah, that's crazy. I like that.
Right.
Some games you just look at and be like, you know, that's a dub. And then
right. Hey, mark that off in the calendar.
I'm like, hold on. Like Stanford.
By double digits, too.
Stanford and Gonzaga. I'm like, oh, you know, I could try to find a game. Or I was like, it was ESPN Plus. I was like, I don't really feel paying for that right now. Are they not? They going to win anyway. I looked third quarter. They lose. And I said, oh, nah. What's going on? They said Cam Brink was sick. Didn't come back.
Yeah.
Oh, come on.
Oh, man. Damn.
Yeah. I thought they was out there losing with Cam. I'm like, nah, that's crazy. Not Gonzaga, bro. Gonzaga not bad, but.
All right, so I'll peep that other
even, like, even then, I was saying, like, even then, you still got Kiki Ariyama, who could step up, but.
Somebody.
It's damn Stanford, man. Stanford should not be losing to damn Gonzaga, bro.
All right, don't do that. Gonzaga not that bad.
Not that bad, but come on, it's Stanford we talking about, man.
They got the Trong sisters. They can hoop.
Yeah, that's true.
Gonzaga's not bad. They've always played Stanford well. They play Stanford at least once a year. And they play them pretty well. Like them, BYU, they always play Stanford pretty well. So I'm not surprised that they lost to them. It's just like they lost by like dang near double digit. Like it wasn't that close of a game. Like it wasn't like, oh, it was they was up like 10-12 for most of the game. I'm like, they working y'all like that?
Yeah. Dang it.
That means they locking y'all down on the other side. Like, y'all ain't getting no buckets.
Dang it.
But I said it last week. I said, when Cam not on the court, it looks way different.
Spooky.
It looks way different. But,
man, that's crazy, man. But let's go ahead and wrap this thing up, man, from here, man. My guys, Tariq Bryce, I appreciate y'all for coming on, man. Let the people know where to find y'all. Where to find the pod and everything, and what y'all got coming soon.
Yes, sir, man. Thank you for having us on, Nick Andre, for the love of the game. Wonderful platform you building up here, my brother. Just to say,
appreciate love you,
what
bro.
You're doing with your fire with the show. Yes. So we pulling for you, man. Keep going, keep doing what you're doing. But as far as us. What we got going on, just more episodes, more content. You know, we doing some new things, introducing new ideas and concepts and topics. Obviously, week to week, got another episode coming out at the end of the week. Just locking in, stay locked in with us at the H&H Show on all social media platforms. Instagram, TikTok. I don't even use our TikTok, but Instagram, Twitter, mainly X. And then me, my at is at underscore Bryce Warner, at underscore B Warner on whatchamacallit on Instagram. Just getting to it, pushing out quality hoops content, man. That's what we do over here, man.
Facts, man. Keep it going. What about you, Tariq?
Yeah, man. Pretty much same thing, just pumping out these episodes, just, trying to bring light to the game the best way I know how. You can find me on Twitter, _switch2h_3. We just told you where to find our podcast. I posted 2 TikToks the last 2 days, so.
Hi, Pete.
I'm trying. At least I was watching TikTok. I was like, if I could watch TikToks, I could at least post 1. I got like 8 in the draft. So I'm like, do I really want to post
draft?
I just started just doing the random ones. And I just put them in the draft. I'm like, if I feel like it, I'll put it. But just trying to get better every day, 1% better each day. And just, it's a lot going on, from day to day. So can't tap in the way I want to all the time, but we make work with what we got, so can't complain. But definitely appreciate Nick for all the support that he give us, because he always supports us on the TL, and I definitely big appreciate facts. It.
Nah, that's a fact, man. Big fan of the show. Like I said, man, you can only do what you can, man. Nah, but like I said earlier, man, y'all got a dope show, man. People should definitely tap in if they haven't. And this is a fun episode. This was definitely a fun episode to talk with you guys, man. Nah, for sure. But nah, for all the people, make sure to follow the podcast on X or Twitter, whatever you want to call it. Love it, TGB Ball. Follow myself and Nick Andre ATR. Make sure to subscribe on anywhere you listen to your podcast, Apple, Spotify, iHeart, you name it. And until next time, you guys, deuces.